Live Creative Now, episode 93.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, and author of The Creative Sandbox Way, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, which is a lie, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, writer, painter, musician, actor, dancer, whatever, or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. It's how you change your life, and it's how you change the world. And that is exactly what we're talking about today. Back in early November, I shared on the podcast a talk that I presented at Patty Dye's Life is a Verb Camp. The talk is called, "So you want to change the world? Go get creating." And I basically read or sort of performed that talk into the microphone for you. And today I have a treat for you. It is the actual talk from Life is a Verb Camp. In other words, I'm sharing with you the real thing. I'm sharing the audio and video from Life is a Verb Camp, the recording of that actual live presentation. I'm actually in Washington, D.C. this week visiting my nephew who has my hair. He's the only other redhead in the family. I flew to D.C. this particular week, or rather, I will be flying to D.C. I'm recording this before the podcast is going to be go live. In order to participate in the Women's March on Washington, the march hasn't happened yet. I'm recording this intro on Wednesday. The march happens on Saturday. So the march will have happened already by the time you're listening. So in other words, the catalyst for my trip to DC, the sort of big reason for my trip to DC is because I want to spend time with my nephew who's 7 years old and he just lost his seventh tooth. And I haven't seen him in so long because he lives on the other coast. But the catalyst for going there now was to participate in this march, which is something that most people would probably pretty easily categorize as, you know, an activist activity, as a change the world or an attempt, you know, to change the world kind of an activity. Whether or not you agree with the activity itself, you can probably wrap your head around it as, yeah, that's an activity that you can sort of lump together with other activities as that's a change the world kind of an activity. Marching, peace rallies, calling your governmental representative, writing letters, making speeches. These are the kinds of things that you might think of as world changing. Or volunteering at an AIDS clinic or a homeless shelter or a refugee camp or teaching or being a nurse or a doctor or inventing a new technology. These things are relatively easy to see as having world-changing potential. But creating? Making art? Playing? Excuse me? World-changing? Does not compute, right? That is what this 15-minute talk is all about. So the video, if you'd like to see it, is in the show notes, which is over or are over at livecreativenow.com/093. So you can see me in full color or just keep listening to listen to the live talk. So without further ado, here it is. Enjoy.
Live creative now. It's 18 years ago. I'm minding my own business when two big guys, start yelling at me, taunting me. And I tell them to go away, leave me alone. But they don't. And then one of them runs at me. So I strike out and I kick him in the crotch, knocks him off balance. He falls down and he grabs me as he falls. And suddenly I am on my back. He's got his hands around my ankles like vice grips. So I flip to one side and I start bicycling my legs to scrape his hands off, which I manage to do, but he keeps grabbing back on. So I flip to the other side, and this seems to go on forever until, bam, I kick him in the head hard enough to knock him out. Meanwhile, his friend has run off. This was pretty terrifying. But thankfully, I was never in any actual danger because this wasn't a real assault. This was a practice fight in an impact self-defense class, one of those classes where the male instructors wear this padded armor, these big, enormous duct tape padded helmets, so you get to use full force fighting techniques. Seriously empowering, highly recommended. But one of the best things about impact self-defense classes is that in the middle session, you get to have a custom fight. And a custom fight is where you get to have the mugger be anyone you want. So you could reenact an actual situation from your past, but give it a good ending where you win. Or you could fight the thing that you're most terrified of. Or you can even have your mugger be an inner mugger. That's what this fight was. I had the muggers be the inner mugger gremlin voices inside my head that told me that art isn't important. At that time, I was a relatively new artist and calligrapher, and I was just getting started turning my art and calligraphy into a business. And my inner mugger gremlins told me that that was a waste. That I should be finding the cure for cancer, or saving leopards, doing something important. Art isn't important. How many of you have ever been able to relate to that? Yeah. There's this prevalent notion that creative expression is somehow frivolous, self-indulgent, unimportant. And really, you only need to look at funding for the arts in the schools and in the wider culture to see that we are not exactly training people to value creative expression. And then on top of that, there's this other prevalent notion that the arts are reserved for the privileged few, the elite, the special, talented ones. And this starts really early. For me, it started in kindergarten with the Easter egg contest. One day, Mrs. Chong, the teacher, gathers us all on the braided rug, and she hands each of us a big egg-shaped piece of white cardstock. We get to take these eggs home with us and decorate them however we want, and when we bring them back, they will be entered in the city-wide Easter egg contest, and there will be ribbon prizes, blue, red, yellow, and white for honorable mention, whatever that means, and the first prize winner in our class will get $5. I'm so excited. I know I'm going to win. I am going to win that blue ribbon and that $5. And I skip home with my egg. I'm very careful not to bend it. And I immediately plop right down at the kitchen counter with my box of crayons. And I make a masterpiece. It's all pastels because Easter. And I draw bunnies all around the edge of the egg, and chickies inside the bunnies, and flowers inside the eggs, and on in concentric rings until the egg is filled, and it is glorious. And the next day, I skip back to school with my egg, very careful not to bend it, and I proudly hand it in to Mrs. Chong. Cut to 3 weeks later. Mrs. Chong, again, gathers us all on the braided rug to announce the prize winners. And I'm so excited because I am going to win that blue ribbon and that $5 first prize. Of course, she starts with this honorable mention thing. She reads people's names out. Jill Sparks, come on up and get your egg and your white ribbon and stand up here next to me while I read the winners. Mandy Smith, come on up, get your egg and your white ribbon and stand here next to me while I read the rest of the winners. Melissa Dinwiddie, come on up. Wait, what? No. That can't be. That cannot be right. But she's insistent that I come get my egg and the white ribbon stapled to it and stand up there. And I'm devastated. Now, the fact that I actually won a ribbon completely lost on me, because I hadn't won the blue ribbon. Stephanie Wilkinson won the blue ribbon, and her egg was a scribble. It was just a scribble. It had none of the artistry of my egg. But I'm not bitter. Now, losing out to Stephanie Wilkinson's scribble in kindergarten was not the thing that made me stop making art. I didn't actually quit until I was 13. But that experience was the first of many lessons that taught me that what was important was not the joy of creating, but what other people think about what I create. Now, that moment at the kitchen counter, that was pure, unadulterated joy. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I just knew I would. What I'd give to have the confidence of a 5-year-old again. But over the years, the balance shifted until making art, doing anything creative, became all about impressing other people. And that is a recipe for perfectionist paralysis. By age 13, I was so frozen, so convinced that I sucked, that I quit. Didn't make art until I was 28. After that 15-year hiatus, when I came back to art at 28, that imperative to impress other people was still very much there. And about a year and a half into my return to art, when I was just starting to sell my work, about the same time as that Impact Self-Defense class, actually, I entered several pieces in a local art show. And I won a bunch of ribbons, including a blue ribbon. Woohoo! Super encouraging, right? You'd think I'd go home and make a whole bunch more art. No. Instead, it was just confirmation that what's important is what other people think. So for 10 years, while I made a lot of art for clients, I completely stopped making art for joy, for me. I had no idea what was going on at the time. I just thought, I'm busy, I don't have time. But now I know that I was suffering from the same problem that made me quit at age 13, which is the same problem that keeps people who think of themselves as non-artists, not creative, from pursuing creative things that they might be interested in. And this problem is actually the only difference between artists and everybody else. Regardless of the art form, writing, painting, dancing, acting, filmmaking, macaroni sculptures, whatever, the only difference between artists and everybody else is not talent, which is what I used to think. It's entitlement. Entitlement to creative play. That is why we stop doing creative things. It's not because we're not talented or not creative. It's because we don't feel entitled. When you say, I don't have time, or I'm not good enough, I'm not talented enough, or what's the point? What's the purpose? I should just quit. Those are all code for I'm not entitled. So we need some reminders that we are entitled, because creative play is important. And more than that, it's world-changing. just you doing your creative thing for fun is a world-changing act. Now, you might think that's maybe a little radical, the concept. Handed out posters that I made with five reasons why creative play is world-changing. You can take those home and hang them on your wall. I'm going to touch on just two in the time that I have left. First, number one on the poster, creating affects your mood, which affects everything. It makes you happier. And scientific studies have shown that happiness is infectious. If you simply live near a happy friend, you actually have a 25% higher chance of becoming happier yourself. And if that friend is right next door to you, or just a happy person is right next door to you, that bumps up to 34%. And this happiness effect actually extends beyond the people you come in direct contact with, up to 3 degrees out, to friends of friends of friends. So you guys all remember that those Fabergé organic shampoo commercials from the 1980s? If you make two people happier, and they make two people happier, and so on, and so on, if you do your creative thing and make yourself happier, that is not selfish. You are catalyzing exponential positive change. You are changing the world. The second one I want to touch on is number three on the poster. This is my favorite. Creating restores energy to your brain. This comes from the world of neuroscience. It turns out that willpower, self-control, which is something that we need if we want to accomplish big things in our lives, right? Willpower can be mapped to specific regions of the brain in the prefrontal cortex. And willpower is a lot like a muscle. Anything you do that requires willpower depletes your ability to do anything else that requires willpower. So for example, say your boss yells at you and you really want to give him a piece of your mind, but you don't. You hold your tongue because you want to keep your job a little more. You've just used some of your willpower muscle. It's a little fatigued. Now you go home and there's a plate of cupcakes on the counter, but you planned on having a salad for dinner and maybe a half a cupcake for dessert. Guess who's having a whole plate of cupcakes for dinner? Because your willpower's depleted. When your willpower is depleted, it needs to be refreshed and restored. So how do you do that? Well, scientific studies have shown that the best way to restore willpower to your brain is not to vegetate out in front of the television. It's not to dive into Facebook. It is to do something that engages your interest. Now, that could be walking in nature, could be rock climbing, could be solving math problems, or guess what? It could be doing your art, whatever it is. Doing your creative thing, in other words, restores energy to your brain and enables you to do your other important work in the world. That's world-changing. So the next time somebody tells you, or maybe your inner mugger gremlin voices tell you that you don't have time to do your creative thing, it's frivolous, self-indulgent, unimportant, just remember, you are making the world a happier place and catalyzing exponential positive change, and you are restoring energy to your brain and enabling yourself to do your other important work. You are changing the world. Thank you. Forgot to mention, I go into more depth on each of those five reasons in my book, which is coming out on the 15th with a foreword by Patty Dye.
That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you are getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends. And hop on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you haven't done so already. If you need step-by-step instructions, just go to livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review. It's super easy. livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review. And I tell you, you would totally make my day if you leave me a new review. I might even read it out on the next podcast. In fact, here is a recent review from Art with Heart, who writes, "Heartful of artful creativity advice," in her 5-star review. Art with Heart writes, "If you love to create art and struggle to take time to do it, Melissa shares great insights to help you to shift your mindset so you'll actually make time, even if it's just 15 minutes a day. It's so worth it. Melissa is an artist with a real heart for helping others, and you'll feel that connection with her in no time at all. Melissa has a heart full of artful creative advice. Listen, and you'll be glad you did." Thank you, Art with Heart. Thank you so much for taking the time to leave that review. Here's another one from PJ Davis 123, who writes in her 5-star review, the subject line is, "Listen every day!" PJ Davis 123 writes, "Can you envision the great smell of laundry that was hung out in the fresh air to dry? Can you imagine that feeling of the newly laundered bed linen in a summer cabin? Now imagine putting those feelings into words that understand you and inspire at the same time. Melissa is like a great neighborhood. You always want to go there with friends and return often." Oh, that is so wonderful. I love that. That totally made my day. Thank you so much, PJ Davis 123. I love it. And Amy Rogers, MD, writes, "Such encouragement," in her 5-star review. She writes, "Melissa offers great encouragement to embrace your creative side. Even if you aren't in a traditionally creative field like art or music, these thoughts apply to whatever you do. If you want to improve things, you have to think creatively. Great podcast." Thank you, Amy. I so appreciate it. These reviews, not only do they mean a lot to me, but really the real purpose of them is that other people who are looking for podcasts to listen to, when they read reviews like this, it helps them decide whether they want to invest their time in checking out a new podcast. So if they read your honest, authentic thoughts on what you think about this podcast, it will help them decide whether they want to check it out or not. So head on over to livecreativenow.com/iTunes-review for step-by-step instructions on how to leave your own review of Live Creative Now. That's it. Until next time, thanks again for joining me, and go get creating. Live Creative Now. Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.